Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming here live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Ndinji country. Us, BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, you mob. Let's jump straight in. An Aboriginal TV host quits Australia ABC over racist backlash from coronation coverage. Prominent Australian Indigenous journalist Stan Grant announced that after Monday he will step away from television hosting duties after viewers respond with racist abuse to his comments during King Charles III's coronation about historical Aboriginal depossession. And true that, you know, all cards on the table, and there is a black conversation in regards to that. No matter what's happening, we're talking about celebrating the coronation of King Charles, being Prince Charles to become king. But the colonisation coming from the motherland, Britain, there's got to be a lot of work to be done in regarding First Nation people of this country. Going back to the conversation here, Grant, a member of the Wiradjuri Tribal Indigenous Australians and former international correspondent for US-based CNN, has been under fire since taking part in a panel discussion on the Australian Broadcasting Corp ahead of the May 6 coronation ceremony in London. Topics include a push to have a president replace the British monarch as Australia's head of state and Indigenous suffering from colonisation. And after more than 30 years of news experience in Australia television, Grant wrote Friday in his regular ABC online column that Monday would be the last time in the foreseeable future that he would host his weekly national panel discussion program, Q&A, because of the news media and social media abuse. I take time out because we have shown again that our history, our hard truth is too big, too fragile, too precious for the media. The media sees only battle lines, not bridges. It sees only politics, Grant wrote. The media has turned public discussion into amusement park, social media at its worst. It is sort of a spectacle. Dratis Burskluk lives are reduced to mockery and ridicule. I want no part of it. I want to find a place of grace far from the stench of the media, Grant said. Grant said that since the coronation, he had seen people in the media lie and distort my words. He said he and his family were regularly racially mocked or abused, and no one in the ABC had publicly supported him since the coronation. Critics complained that the ABC had soured the celebratory mood of the coronation. His supporters say inaccurate and inflammatory reporting of his views in the mainstream media has fueled racial, abusive and threatening personal attacks on social media, wearing the news veteran down. Grant was asked to participate on the panel as a Wiradjuri man and to discuss his own family's experience and the role of monarchy in Australia in the context of Indigenous history, Justin Stevens, ABC News director, said in a statement. The responsibility of for the coverage lies with the ABC News management, not with Stan Grant, Stevens says. Stevens said the corporation had complained to Twitter this year about the racist abuse of Grant published on the social media platform. Any threats against Grant would be referred to police, Stevens says. ABC manager director David Anderson apologised to Grant on Sunday in the email to staff, saying Grant's experience since the coronation have been distressing, confronting for the corporation. Racism must never be tolerated, and I'm dismayed that Stan had been exposed to such sickening behaviour. Anderson said, this has real-world consequences for ABC presenters and journalists who are personally attacked and vilified. Anderson said anti-ABC reporting by some commercial media outlets has seen sustained and vitriolic, and announced a review of how the ABC responds to racism affecting staff. Hundreds of ABC colleagues, journalists and supporters carrying signs, including We Stand With Stan and We Reject Racism, gathered outside the ABC Sydney's headquarters Monday afternoon in a show of support for Grant. Grant's journalist daughter, Luana Grant, told the crowd about the toll race abuse had been taken on their family. It's really hard to see him struggling, and that's he's had to cop, endure the racism and disgusting filth that's been online, she said. Her mother, Stan Grant's first wife, Carla Grant, also an Indigenous reporter, told the gathering that racial abuse was an ongoing issue for Indigenous journalists as well as the Grant family. It's accumulation of years and years of racism our people had to face. Carla Grant said Indigenous Australians account for 3.2% of the national population and Australia's most disadvantaged ethnic minority. A political divide emerged over the Senate-left Labor Party governments planned to hold a referendum this year that would create an Indigenous representative body that would be known as the Voice to Parliament and would advise lawmakers on issues that affect Indigenous lives. The main Conservative parties opposed such a change to the Constitution and argue it would divide the nation along racial lines. National Indigenous Television national broadcaster known as NITV on Sunday said it was taking a break from posting or tweeting because we've had enough of the racism and hate to see we experiencing every day on this platform. NITV host John Paul Janke said the racial hate messaging had increased with public debate on the Voice to Parliament. The abuse that we're seeing now is not new, but it's been increasing with new intensity, Janke said. Australian Monarchists League lodged a Freedom of Information request with the ABC about the planning of the broadcast to determine how this pitfall turn of events has allowed it eventuate, says Eric Abbas, the League's chair and a former senator. And this Freedom of Information request will expose the Twitter's twisted thinking and those responsible for this unprecedented and unprecedentable takeover of what should have been a factual commentary to an exception historic occasion. The ABC Ombudsman has investigated public complaints about the broadcast. The ABC did not comment on News Corp reports that there had been more than 1,000 complaints about the coronation broadcast. So there it is in regarding Brother Stan Grant and stepping away from Q&A after all the racial taunts that was given him online. And here we are in the 21st century, and it is what it is. It's so true that the colonisation coming from the from Britain, there it is, and we're celebrating the coronation of Prince Charles become Prince King the Third, and but there's still business and that hasn't been closed. So there's a lot of work to be done in that space. We as First Nation people, recognition always was and always will be. Look, have your say, add to that conversation, but Orly is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Thank you.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, traditional Aboriginal healing teams with Western medicine amid youth suicide crisis in WA's north. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Tammy Solonik. She's a coordinator, CALIC, the Kimberley Aboriginal Law and Cultural Centre. On the line, Tammy, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sister, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
I'm a Nyingan woman from Derby in the Kimberley, but I live 150k south of Broome near Bidjidenga.
All right, fantastic. So how long have you been coordinator for CALIC?
I've been coordinating this healing project since 2020, COVID year. It's been a real honour to be involved in it and to work with our old people on understanding the traditional healing practices that happen up here in the Kimberley.
And when we talk about traditional Aboriginal healing, look, which is strong for our people, teaming up with Western medicines, this could be the vehicle in regarding, well, prevention of youth suicide, Sister.
Yeah, well, we've been working on developing a model of service delivery for a couple of years now. Mm. And 2 weeks ago, we held our first clinic in partnership with a medical service. So we held it at the Derby Aboriginal Medical Service.
Yes.
And DARS, the acronym for the service, they've been really supportive, had a really positive response from clients. We had more clients than we could fill.
Yes.
And it's something that we'll look to do more in the future to continue partnering with Western medicine.
So how long has that been in operation, sorry?
The project itself started in 2019,
okay.
And then we had to develop a model, and then we trialled that model. So we've been trialling the model in Derby and Fitzroy Crossing since August last year.
Yes.
Our trial period is about to end, and then we're moving into service delivery and expanding to other parts of the Kimberley.
Oh, fantastic. And did we talk about First Nation employment or job opportunities there as well?
Absolutely. Well, I'm Aboriginal for a start,
yes.
So I'm the coordinator. We've got cultural advisors who are all Aboriginal, and of course the healers. So we have 14 registered healers at the moment, and so they're all paid for their work.
Cool.
So it's a great way to increase economic outputs for traditional Aboriginal people.
Yes.
Well, any people, but the people that we're paying, the healers, most of them are elderly.
Yeah.
A number of them are in their 80s. We are trying to work to get younger people in.
Of course.
But, yeah, this
to pass
is
the knowledge on, to pass the medicine on, you could say.
Absolutely,
yeah.
It's a great opportunity for these old people to be getting paid for what they're doing, but also to pass on that knowledge to the younger people.
Well, it keeps the knowledge alive, doesn't it, you know, and then you're getting our young ones involved and then the culture continues. This sounds like a fantastic opportunity. This should be templated across the country, should it not?
Yeah, we'd love to see this across the country. We have actually modelled our project on some of the work in Central Australia.
Mm.
So the MPY Women's Council already works with the Alice Springs Hospital, and then the Achilles Centre in Alice also does some great work.
Yeah.
So, we're trying to follow them, but it would be wonderful if we could have these sorts of programs all across Australia.
Fantastic. And how long, we got, there's funding for this, is that right? And how long's the funding for?
Yeah, so I'm sorry if you can hear that in the background. My partner has just started a chainsaw.
All good.
I did tell him I was doing an interview.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I did tell you. No, he didn't hear you.
Did you want me to ask him to sort of see if he's got now?
No, get him on air. Let's talk to him too. No, all good, sister. All good. So.
Sorry, what was your question?
Oh, regarding the funding, how long is the funding for, and did we see a continuation with the funding?
Yes, so we're funded until the 31st of December 2024, so next
okay.
year.
Right, yeah.
Our funding is from the WA Primary Health Alliance, but that's a commissioning body for the Federal Department of Health.
Yes.
So it's not the WA government that's funding us, it's the federal government, but we're pushing on the WA government to come on board.
To step up dollar for dollar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, health is a state responsibility, but
exactly.
it's quite often the Commonwealth that leads in these sorts of innovative areas for
sure.
Aboriginal people.
Sure, and if we bring the numbers down, which is the goal in regarding prevention of suicide, then that means it's a good thing and it should be funded more. But we're talking about the lives of our young ones, aren't we?
Yeah, but it's not just the younger people, it's older people as well. And
okay.
what we're finding is a lot of our clients are stolen generations people who haven't had access to these forms of traditional healing practices because of colonisation.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people, even older people, who are benefiting from it.
Mm.
And it probably helps if I describe a little bit some of the traditional healing practices that operate up here.
Yes.
So the men do a spiritual healing called Mabang, and that's something that they can gift to other men, and the men can learn quite quickly. And we've got really good young men coming through and great male leaders.
Yes.
On the women's side, they work in a group. So we have about 6 or 7 women working on a person at a time. They have to sing songs. They use ochre. They do body work and massage.
Mm.
And that's a little bit harder for us to maintain because it takes several women. And the songs and their craft learns a lot. It takes a lot of time to learn.
Yeah.
There's also bush medicines. We're still working on bush medicines. It's quite a complicated area.
Mm.
And then there's smoking, smoking of ailments and things like that. So it's really interesting types of healing, all this medicine, Aboriginal medicine, used to occur before the Western systems were around.
Well, Western medicine at the table now, I mean, of course, they've got to be open-minded to the healing process, but it's educational as well as mind-blowing, you could say.
Yeah,
I mean, they become students, do they not?
a lot of our healers have said that, as well as us delivering the healing.
Yes.
We want to be able to teach Western practitioners that there was a whole medical system in place before they came about,
Exactly.
And we know how to deal with a lot of ailments, especially social and emotional well-being.
Mm.
The healers in particular, they would like to see these young people before they get sedated and put on medication.
Yeah, so true, Tammy. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thank you very much. We'll keep a close eye on what you guys are doing. Fantastic program that you got there. Thank you for the yarn. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, Tammy, and we'll be in touch, my sister.
Thank you very much. Bye.
You take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Tammy Solonik is her name, coordinator for CALIC, and that's the Kimberley Aboriginal Law and Cultural Centre. And they're working with traditional Aboriginal healing that teams up with Western medicine amid youth suicide crisis in WA's north. And by any means necessary to prevent suicide, you've got to invest in that by all means. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Advice. See, it's hard enough to keep the kids inside. Where I'm from, let me remind. Violence and poverty, high rates of crime surrounds me, living in a crowded place. Being discriminated because of my race, but they don't see the challenges we face. Missing pieces to the puzzle is how we're raised. I'm a young Aboriginal, not a criminal. Pave the way for the future individuals. Make a change and I speak the truth. Services around, but I ain't helping the youth.
Potential, we got it. Hero God. But see, it's hard when we start from the bottom.
MGD, little youngins.
Come up from nothing and they think we're the problem.
But why?
We are not the problem.
Nah.
See, the kids ain't the problem.
Why blame us?
Now, you could be the problem. Or maybe the system is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I'm trying to find a way to make it. I got big dreams, so I chase it. Trying to make changes. I'm only headed for greatness. I just want to see different places.
Never judge
a book by its cover. The media doesn't even know what we suffer. Gotta make a change for my family and culture. Being through it all, stay strong like a soldier.
Soldier.
still I feel lost when I look around. Not even a sign or a single sound. Dedication and motivation is what I found. Locked up in the system, pulling me down. They just trying to pull me down. They just trying to pull me down, huh? They just trying to pull me down. See, my passion is what I found.
Best believe it. Potential, we got it. God. But see, it's hard when we started from the bottom.
MGD, Lil Young.
Come up from nothing and they think we're the problem.
But what?
We are not the problem.
Nah.
See, the kids ain't the problem.
Why blame us?
Now you could be the problem. Or maybe the system is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, we change it. They be looking down on us, but we rearrange it. That's what's up.
Yeah, we change it. They be looking down on us, but we rearrange it. That's what's up.
That's what's up. Potential, we got it. But see, it's hard when we started from the bottom.
MGD, Lil Young.
Come up from nothing and they think we're the problem.
But what?
We are not the problem.
Nah.
See, the kids ain't the problem.
Why blame us?
Now you could be the problem. Or maybe the system is the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, y'all. It's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindji Country, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team, and big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, Deadly Black Network. Yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. Now we've got our next segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pecone. That's IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bumbadrip Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chew on a banana rather than Mars bars, what we say. But, have the good old fruit is what we're talking about. All right, we're going to catch up with a yarn now. We have Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant, and he's got with him Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy. Very good morning to you. And also we've got Alicia Freeband, First Year Constable, and we're going to talk about her journey. A very good morning to you all. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Carol.
Trevor, good morning.
Thank you very much. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Steve?
Proud Jitabal Murray from the tropics of the Tully and Kabul Ravensow area.
Gumboot country.
Wow.
That's it. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delight, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, mate.
Now, you wasn't here last week.
No, I missed it. What did we do last week? Was DV month? Yes.
Yeah, thank
DV
you.
DV month.
I think we discussed that too, didn't we?
Yes.
We did have
yes.
that yarn. Yep.
Yep.
Also, big shout out to Commissioner Katarina Currell, who was in here a couple of weeks ago.
A week earlier.
Had
yes.
a deadly yarn with her.
Yes.
And powerful conversation. So when you look at her position, she's the highest police officer in the state.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep. 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 And
so no one above her.
No one above her, so that's why I never spoke over her while she was on the,
thank
on the program.
Thank you. Yeah, you respect your pay packet, don't you, brother?
Yep. Yep.
But look, powerful. And like being a female, is that one of the first female commissioners?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. For Queensland it is.
For Queensland it is.
Yeah, but not, okay. not for the state. Yeah. So,
yeah, good.
Yeah, no, she's done a great job and in leading our organisation.
Yes.
And
how long she's been in that seat for?
Oh, you're asking the hard questions on live radio. That's terrible.
No.
But 3 years. 3 years. As commissioner, yeah.
Yeah, yep. sure.
Yeah, but okay. Look, for the far north, we've known her for many
years.
Well,
she's a local girl.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
found
and,
out.
And
yeah.
certainly, like, Tablets. Right from when I was in my first year in Cairns, she was an inspector up here, and, you know, we've sort of watched her climb her way through the jungle, and, she's our boss.
Two deadly girls can do anything. Speaking of girls, we have lovely Alicia Freeband, First Year Constable. Alicia, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. First year. And you know what, sister? You're sitting right where Commissioner Katarina sat.
Yes, I heard. Comfy chair.
There you go. So that's probably a vision. You know, today, Buchan Street, tomorrow the world.
I'd have
Look
a long
at
way to
Commissioner
go
Katarina going for your job. So your first year, tell us about your first year. How'd you travel?
Yeah, good. So I'm coming to the end of my first year. At the moment, I'm stationed at Edmonton Police Station.
Okay.
So I started in July of 2022.
Okay.
It's been good so
I
far.
I asked you off air that did you always want to be a police officer, and not the case?
No, not the case. No. So I, you know, like anyone through schooling, I wanted to be a soccer player and a princess and all of that. And I went to uni.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, exactly. I went to uni, did what I did what I did. And then when I sort of finished uni and had my quarter life crisis, I sat down and thought about what I wanted to use my degree in. So I then I ended up on policing, yeah.
Mm. So there it is, and 12 months later, so this is your career path and you're sticking with it because you're loving it.
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
Okay,
Can't see the end yet.
And back right with the commissioner's, story here 2 weeks ago. She was big on Indigenous recruitment. That's why we've brought Ali in here today, is because, she did talk about a lot of programs, and there's always people that are a little bit apprehensive of joining our job.
Sure.
And Ali's one of our success stories from Edmonton. First and foremost, that she passes her first year, which she's done. And but others, it's nice. As her officer in charge, just to watch her grow over the years, over the year, and how she interacts with people and takes on that maturity. When you join the service, it doesn't matter how old you are; it's that on-road maturity that you see come through towards that end of the year on how they handle jobs and interact with members of the public.
And when you say interact, that's the other thing: we're dealing with people, not product.
Correct.
So it's about communication. It's about adapting two personalities. How to win friends, influence people, in a genuine way, but it's about communication, it's about talking, and talking to people, not at people, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That sort of stuff, respect, but of course, if you're going to get out of line, then, I'll have them push the authority. If you want me to do that, I can do that, but it's all simple. So in your 12 months, work in different areas in the job?
Yeah, so as a first year, you're a general duties officer, but you also do rotations through specialist. Okay. So I spent about 3 months rotating through. I did the tactical crime squad for a couple of weeks, highway patrol for a couple of weeks. I worked in the city at the police beat for about a month, and also Cairns Child Protection for a couple of weeks as well.
And in the job description, back to you, Sergeant Glenn DeLoy, they move first year constable around in that space to...
Yeah, look, that's
to
just
get a feel
that,
of it
that
all,
just gives them
all aspects of the job.
Gives them a little bit of experience and... polishes them off. We see some of them go through traffic branch. They don't like it, and they know they're never going to be a traffic officer.
Do they have a choice
of going rotating through? No. So they, in their first year, they're going to be exposed to that type of policing.
And second year, they can then look at where they want to be.
Second year, they'll get their placement, and then that's it, mate. They've got their wings, so they can fly from the nest.
Yeah.
And they apply for all their positions after that. So that's the importance of those rotations is they get a little bit of an idea of what it's like in all these different areas. Then they can make those decisions. And one of the latest ones that we are rotating our first year through is the domestic violence unit as well now.
Sure.
Not that we're not exposed to domestic violence, but just to watch what happens at that high end of those very high risk victim survivors and how the perpetrators are brought before the courts.
And that was a big topic last week, domestic violence, and it was domestic violence week actually, so that was a very top topic. But it's good to know all facets of the job, and know areas. Can later on down the track you can pick which area you want to be in, and then they slot you in there for forever and a day. Is that how it works?
Yep, that's right. And Ali's at the end of her first year now, so she can talk about the anxiety of being placed at a station.
Yes,
because that's not an easy thing for a lot of first years. Certainly, they get very comfortable in their first year. But we all know that at that 12-month period, we're going to pick up a rock and throw it at them. So they've got to fly the coop, mate. So,
All right, so that's the first year. We'll talk about the second year in a second. Over here to you, Brother Steve. Police liaison officer, that's a different kettle of fish.
Totally.
Do you get into a first year as a PLO, then you step up, or how's that all work?
Well, since I've been in the job,
epaulets?
Been in the job for the last 19 years. Coming up to 20 next year, both Glenn and I.
Do you guys get epaulets in that sense?
Yes.
So can you be in charge of young recruits coming on board as PLOs?
With the QPS service, I've noticed in the job, it's not responsible for me to work with an FYC.
Okay.
I can only give them advice on outcomes, or if you're dealing with Aboriginal and Torres Strait people in the community.
Sure.
It's not
to help engage.
Yes. Yes. So... I can give them advice, but it's not a prominent ordeal to work.
And ranking structure wise.
And I've got no power to tell her as the first year what to do.
No,
I'm talking about other police liaison officers come on board. A young PSN, you've been there 17 years?
Yes, 19.
So if you've got a young brother, sisters on board with you the first year, you've got authority over them, would you not?
Yeah, Steve's a senior police liaison officer.
There you go, thank you.
And okay. He is about to get three more PLOs at Edmonton Station, and
they'll be under him.
They'll be under him, but his major role will be mentoring those because these guys probably will not have any experience as a police liaison officer.
Sure,
so this will be their first crack at it. And look, Steve's he's been around for
old hand.
He's old hand. He knows what he's doing. So he'll be there to guide them and what their roles are. Yeah.
And then the police liaison officers can become police officers.
Absolutely, yeah. And we encourage them to do so.
Sure. Yep. So what they do then is resign from the job and go to the academy. Is that how it works?
I think you don't have to resign from the actual position because you can always hold that position.
While you're doing your studies or doing your academy?
Because there's a big pay point, drop pay, when you go back to the first year constable role.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the recruiting process now has changed from 6 months to 8 months.
Yeah.
So it's a longer time frame.
Okay. Mm. Alicia, back to you. Coming into your second year, so then that's a pay rise for Alicia in the second year, yeah?
Yes, mildly.
All right. We should do lunch. Talk about it further. You shout. So second year, let's talk about the platform that you're about to step into. Where do you get posted? Do you stay at Edmonton or have you got posted? Where is it? Are you happy with it? Do you have a say in it? Where is it?
Okay, so when you are coming to the end of your first year, you get sent an email with a bunch of stations that require second year police officers.
Yes.
And we put in what's called our preferences.
Yep.
So my list came and there was 14 different stations throughout the region. So I'm tenured to the far northern region.
Yes.
So that's everywhere. Is it from Cardwell?
Right through to the Straits.
Right through to all the way to
Torres Strait. Torres Strait Islands, okay.
So
there's 14 listed there.
There was 14
and
stations in there.
Pick the first three or pick the best of your best three?
I picked 14. So I put them in order from 1 to 14.
How'd you fare?
Yeah, so my top pick was Bamaga. And my second pick was Lockhart River. Sort of knew from the beginning and sort of at Academy that I did. You hear a lot of great things about policing in the far northern region.
Yeah, good.
So that's why I chose far northern to begin with. But you have to sort of do your first year in the metro.
Sure, and you done that here at Edmonton.
And I did that at Edmonton, and then I knew that I sort of wanted to go to the Cape from there.
Good on you.
So that's how I allocated my preferences.
Yes. All right. So how'd you fare? Have they told you yet? Or?
So they have. So as I said, my top pick was Bamaga, and my second was Lockhart River. I think I got preference maybe 5 or 6. Which was Aurukun. So where I'll be heading.
That's where you'll be heading. So with that second year, Aurukun, is it a 12-month gig?
It is, yeah.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
The good thing about that, Senior Sergeant Lindelaw, you get to meet the people, the locals, and they get to know you.
Yeah. Look, I'm really big in it, and this is only because of my time in Cape York and rotating twice through Yarrabah.
Yeah.
That some of these officers do experience that.
Yeah.
And very junior in their career as well, because certainly with them communities aren't without their problems.
Sure.
When we're working up there, we're without our resources. So we need to think
You
need to think on your toes.
You do.
And I firmly believe it rounds off a better police officer
than
someone that sat down in the metro areas. And we all know our communities, sometimes they can be difficult. They're very complex. Mm. And, certainly one of the biggest skills you will walk out of some of those Cape York communities or any communities in Queensland is your communication skills, because it's your it's your number one sword. And if you can speak to people and calm them down, diffuse a situation without having to get out the handcuffs or tasers or capsicum spray, I think you're a much more valuable police officer than if you'd gone straight to those weapons to start with.
And I think first year constable who are working, especially in the state of Queensland, with police liaison officers beside them, that helps you with your platform into your movement into Kawanyama, working with the First Nation people, constituents, because you've worked here with the there's your cultural awareness, your training regarding the communication with their First Nation people. So I think it's fantastic, police liaison officers. And that's only in the state of Queensland, isn't it? PLOs?
No, look, I'm sure every jurisdiction will have some sort of cultural engagement.
Sure, and, beautiful. And need to be. It has to be.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And like we were saying, like at Edmonton Station, we're getting an African PLO, we're getting a Bhutanese PLO and a South Sea Islander.
Right.
So we're going to have a fair bit of diversity. That's just reflected in what our community is down at that end of town.
Yeah.
Once Ali goes up to Aurukun, there's going to be PLO, but also we've got our council community police, and
sure.
both are very effective in
communications
and providing advice to police yeah. on just those local yeah. local issues, you know. And there's a lot of things like culture,
yeah,
black magic, other things there that, you know, a police officer that's never been in the north
no, exactly.
would have no idea mm. on how these families and communities how they affect them families
sure.
and communities.
And I will add too that in regard to all human beings, here we are students for life.
Mm.
So we're learning every day, you know, no matter yep. What field, what industry you're working in, or you know, whether you're married or not married or whatever, whether you live in the bush or live in the city. Were you going to say something there, Brother Steve?
No, she's going to have a good experience up there for the first 12 months. Mm. She might even enjoy it and stay longer.
Okay.
And go to another area.
So in second year, there you go, Kawanyama, stayed for 12 months. What happens in third year?
I say she's Arakoon.
Arakoon.
Yeah.
And in third year, what happens then?
Look, if Ali decides to stay under Arakoon for the next 20 years, that's her spot.
Is that right?
So no one's going to move her. So she'll...
That's her say then?
That's her say.
Yeah, 12 months, just they sort of just roll. So once that date finishes, I can stay or I can apply for a different station. At this point, my intention is to stay longer than 12 months.
Okay.
But obviously, I want to take it day by day and
sure.
and see how I go.
Where do you originate from?
I'm actually from New Zealand.
Ah.
But I grew up...
Did
I
you
moved
switch
over.
The light off when you come over? All your mom
once
here.
I got off. Once I got off the boat, yeah. We moved over when I was in primary school, and then I grew up in southeast corner in Tambourine.
Tambourine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
New South Wales?
No, it's Gold Coast, yeah.
Tambourine, there you go. Hello.
That's New South Wales to a the far northern
yeah,
border.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Close
thank
enough
you.
To the border.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything past the Titans, yeah.
So it's definitely day and night moving from Tambourine Mountain to Arakoon, but you know.
Yeah, yep, there it is. Fantastic. So what about a police officer moving to another state or territory?
Look, they can. They'll have to apply to that state or territory.
Okay.
We've all got different rules on how we accept our, we call them retreads.
Retreads.
Yep.
Oh, I've got a retread if you go to another state or territory.
Yep.
You're and still a police officer.
Still a police officer, but they also got to go back through the academy again.
Yeah. And look, the basic concept of policing doesn't really change.
Sure.
But certainly the laws of different states and some of the policies and procedures will.
So you have to go through like an academy again?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And I mean, some states and territories will let us keep our rank when we go there, if you're lucky. You know, others, you may have to start back at the bottom.
And they'll let you know you're at the bottom too.
They'll let you know you're at the bottom, mate, because that's the beauty of these epaulets on our shoulders.
Yeah,
they tell us exactly
right.
where we've seen on the
pecking
order. A little
piece of material can change some of the personality. Don't worry about that.
That's it, yep.
Alicia, congratulations. Good yarn. Thank you very much
for
that yarn and that progress. And, first year. And all the best for your second year.
Thank you.
And enjoy it up there in the Cape and with our mom. Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy, good to see you again, my friend.
Yeah.
All the best to you. Now your boy went and got his license today.
He got his license this morning, yeah.
So both your boys are now on the road.
They're both on the road, yep.
Yeah.
So young Slade, if anyone sees a young fella driving around the tablelands with a big smile on his face and a blue
that's
Hilux,
him.
That's him and he should be at school because that's where he told me he was going.
Is that right?
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Steve Grant, good to see you, my brother.
Thank you, Drab.
And we'll talk soon, eh?
Yo.
All the best, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, beautiful yarn there with the guys and girl in blue. And that's Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle is the message we deliver. So there's always plenty of room for a job career in the police force, academy, police liaison officer, either way. And look, even if you've got a little criminal record there, just apply and have the talk. I remember talking to heads of police department earlier this year about that. Just had that conversation. Very important to have that in looking at a pathway. But it becomes a beautiful career pathway, and you can really cement yourself in there. But have you saying Yana Strong out of the conversation in National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
When the lights go down, no life is around. This world we treasure. Neglected, unprotected.
track there, Poison Planet, and that's Coloured Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I think we've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother? You there? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here, mate, sort of, you know, like in the world we live in. Mm-hmm. That's a great piece of music.
Yeah,
and I met him in there in a tent in Cairns when they did the show there when first set up.
Yeah, too deadly.
You just had the Police on.
That's right, clear. Yep.
I want to get back to that for a minute. I need a little bit of time, mate, because it's really hard with my communication skills, which are non-professional.
Mm-hmm.
Just really on the ground, grassroots talking. We're going to start with Ken Grant and the ABC and reporting, and you can see the damage that's done to people that are reporting on the Crown.
Yep.
Now, we've got the Crown in here, the Police in here. It's an Aboriginal radio show, and I've got to say it. I don't know why the Police are on our show. With what's happening.
Running what, sorry?
The Police are on our show, you know?
Yeah, communication. Just having communication with the police. Community radio, yep. And we've been doing it for 7 years, brother, that little segment.
Yeah, they've been doing it for 250 years or whatever.
Sure.
Look, it's with the Crown and the Police. You know, I swear allegiance to Aboriginal people, especially Gidinji people here.
Sure.
And the Police have ruined my life by their non-action for me and my wife, Donna Gibbs, and for what happened with the attack on our art gallery up on the tableland. Carol, the Police Commissioner, there's another death in custody in Brisbane. There's an old lady tasered. The Crown is out of control in this country.
Mm.
There's no treaty. You've got the voice. And I listened to Trevor Peckham on Friday. He was really good. And he said, well, what's with the thing? And I tried to get on Friday because it's about dividing us, dividing this country on the yes vote. I want to tackle a couple of things here. I've got 5 minutes, I hope. And that's what happened. Early in the year...
Lost Tony, there's your daily program, National Talk Black. Well, it's come to time where Trinity Trev signs off for today. Thank you very much for your company, Mob, but always call us on 1-800-422-416. Got the news coming up very soon on NERS, National News Radio Service. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
The city lights are driving me so crazy. As I walk the lonely streets of old Tamworth, how I wish that I was back there in the dream time, in the country where there's always peace and quiet. Oh, I wish that I was back here. Droning in the night, where corroborees are seen by the firelight, far away from the glow of city light. Now that on Main Street, it makes me feel so lonely. For the gum trees and the taste of porcupine, I see my brothers, I see my sisters here in Tamworth, torn apart by government ways and city lies. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo, a droning.